Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
This is Dave Cornelison with STEM Spots, the weekly radio show and webcast produced by Missouri State University's Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science. And with me in the studio is Kara Schaefer, the Director of Energy Services and Renewables at City Utilities of Springfield. Welcome back, Kara.
Thank you.
Now, Kara, we talked a little bit about, in the radio version, your general role at City Utilities. Can you expand a little bit more on that? What might you do or your division do on a sort of a day-to-day basis?
Well, certainly we're interacting with our customers who are looking to make their home or their business more efficient. And that can be either through electricity, natural gas, or water, all three commodities that we provide. And so it may be on-site visits with some of our commercial businesses. It's guiding some of our residential customers through the rebate processes and what they need to do to make that more efficient purchase a little bit more affordable. So overall, it's looking at how we can control or manage the resources that we have today and help our customers do that.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about solar, and I already asked you some questions about that. So talk about solar and City Utilities plans for solar, and also talk about any plans that City Utilities might have for customers to incorporate their own solar into the system,
sure,
if that's possible.
You bet. Well, currently, we are responsible for bringing the largest solar farm in the state of Missouri to the Springfield area, and we're very proud of that. It's nearly 5 megawatts AC of power. It's about 6.53 DC power, and it's located on some land that we own next to our McCartney Generating Station out towards Stratford, so out on the northeast side of Springfield. We started looking at this back in the fall of 2012, sent out a request for proposals. We received four of those and then signed a 25-year contract, and this is a purchase power agreement that we have with Strata Solar, which means they own, maintain, and operate that site, and we just buy the power from it. We do have an option to buy the farm in year seven and each year after that.
And so how about if people want to have solar on their own houses? Can they, like in some states in the West, sell their power back onto the grid if they overproduce? Do you have anything like that available?
Sure. That's called net metering. And actually, every utility in the state of Missouri is required to offer that. We currently have about 15 net metering customers. That's out of about 110,000 electric. All of those are solar. And, you know, it's just that solar is more expensive still, and so people are going to be doing this for probably reasons other than economic drivers to put that on the roof. But we do buy that power back if they generate more than what they use.
So right now you basically are going to buy power from a third party who are operating the solar farm for you on land that City Utilities owns. And so where are most of the costs when you talk about this solar? Is it the capitalization cost to build the system? Is that where most of the expense is?
Absolutely. I mean, we know that the sunlight is free. Nobody's paying for that. So it's certainly the cost of those panels and all of the structure that it takes and then interconnecting with our system.
How many years might the farm last without constant renewal, and where would the break-even point be then? Do you have that specced out?
You know, I think right now if we look at our sources today and what we project into the future, I think that this cost that we've locked in for 25 years may break even at some point during this 25-year contract towards the end. But what we don't know is the impact of these EPA regulations that are proposed today called the Clean Power Plan and how we're going to hit those targets, because most of that is concentrated on reducing carbon emissions. And that means generating less coal and finding other resources or adding a lot of control technology to our existing plants. And that, of course, is going to be expensive.
Now, you say use less coal. That doesn't automatically mean using more natural gas. Natural gas is conceivably cleaner, I suppose, but it still will generate CO2 when it's burned. So are you going to try to use more natural gas also, or just try to move away from coal to renewables like solar and wind?
Well, coal is certainly going to be part of our mix for a very long time, probably over my lifetime at least. Natural gas is part of our mix today. We use that primarily on peaking days and running our peaking turbines. But as we see more natural gas being discovered and being harnessed here in the United States, I think natural gas is going to play a larger part of that. The other part of that is that when you bring in those intermittent sources like solar and wind and those types of things, you have to balance that on a real-time basis. And natural gas gives us the ability to do that because they're quick to turn on and quick to turn off, and they can be ramped up or slowed down more quickly than what a traditional steam plant would.
Now, most people might not understand exactly what we're talking about. You're actually saying that as you monitor demand during a day, you might actually bring new power sources onto the grid or take them off. And the easiest ones to do that with is natural gas. Is that what you're saying?
On a short period, right. We do projections every day on what the power is going to be based on, or what the demand from our customers are going to be based on weather, based on seasonal characteristics and different things like that. So we're monitoring that all the time. It's a 5-minute increment all the time that we're looking at. We also buy power off of the grid too. We also sell power onto the grid when we can.
And so that means renewables, if they are intermittent, which both wind and solar would fall into that category, how big of a part could they ultimately play without storage capability in the grid, really? Have you guys worked out those sorts of things? I know there are people who model that sort of thing.
There are people that are much smarter than I am that work at City Utilities that look at this type of thing all the time. But certainly what we're learning from the solar farm right now is the solar is more predictable, obviously, for our system. We can look at the weather ahead of time and see what that's going to do and if it's going to be a sunny day. And the good thing about the solar part of it is that it's peak day power. Basically, when that hottest summer day, when most of our customers are using the maximum amount of power and we have to go rely on all of our resources, this is producing the most that it will too. While wind is much more intermittent and you're not sure when it's going to come, and most of the time, the wind that we purchase from Kansas comes in overnight hours. And so that's when demand is low and it's not really needed on the system.
So are the Kansas wind farms, are they interested in storage capability? In the long run, I know people talk about things like supercapacitor storage, other sorts of storage where they might take peak production hours for something like wind and store some of the energy for use during a peak demand time, which might come later. So are you talking to them about those sort of thing, or do they just do whatever it is that they're going to do?
You know, when you're talking about the large-scale projects, like utility-scale projects, such as the wind farms and the solar farm and that type of thing, I am not aware of any talk of any type of storage facility for that amount of power. Now, when you're talking about maybe on your own house or on smaller applications, you might be able to look at some battery storage and doing different things like that. Again, the cost of that is what's going to drive is going to drive people, you know, either they're going to do it or not on their ability to pay for it.
Sure. So how much money does City Utilities, let me rephrase this question, will City Utilities rates have to go up by putting renewables onto the grid? Is that ultimately a little bit what has to happen?
I think it's a balance. Every type of energy source that we have out there, we're looking at the cost of that. How is that going to add to the mix? You know, is it going to require us to bring in more natural gas? Are we going to have more turbines on the natural gas side of it to balance that type of energy? So all of these things go into those calculations on figuring that out, on whether it's going to take a rate increase. And of course, remember, we are a municipal utility. We are owned by our customers, and that's the only place that we get the funding for what we do. So that's our source of revenue. We hope that certainly bringing this solar farm on did not require any type of rate increase. It was just a power purchase agreement that goes into the regular mix.
Right. Now, who's going to make the decision, or how will the decision be made if you want to buy? You said you could buy at year 7 if you...
Right. And the reason why that structure is that way, and why you see a lot of municipal utilities doing these type of agreements, is because of the federal investment tax credit. And since we're a municipal utility, we cannot take advantage of that. And so you have separate companies that have investors that are able to take advantage of these investment tax credits, but they have to hold that asset for a period of time, and it's right before that 7-year period.
Very interesting. What other kinds of plans if you were to talk about efficiencies in the production of electrical and the use of electrical by people in the Springfield area, where can they actually make the most gains? Is it in this production, or is it in general efficiency when you talk to them about efficiencies in their houses? Are we actually able to make more gains there?
Certainly. I think efficiency has to be the first thing. You know, the utility's responsibility is to provide the power whenever somebody wants it. Just as we're sitting in this building today on Missouri State campus, you know, there's a certain demand of power, and if we didn't have this power, there would be a lot of people that'd be pretty upset with this. But there are a lot of opportunities for efficiency, and that again goes back to the efficiency side of my responsibility as a utility, is to talk to people, to get that message out there, that first tackle the least cost options, and that is probably just changing behavior. It's changing out old appliances. It's making very low-cost improvements to your home or business that would have a big return for you.
Right. So obviously, double-paned windows, more efficient gas furnaces, and so forth and so on.
Right. I try to say, you know, if you have one of those 1970 avocado-colored refrigerators sitting out in your garage, that would be the first step rather than solar panels.
Right. Right. So if city utilities, do they actually do any research work on this solar farm? Are there going to be people involved with your company that are actually going to be monitoring this in some way, shape, or form as a test bed for other utility companies? Are they kind of watching this, or are you just going to run it like an industrial concern?
You know, we're monitoring this all the time, and the interesting thing right now is the amount of data that we can get from it. It can be down to a 5-minute increment on this type of power production, and looking how even just a small cloud bank going over can affect the production from it. And so I think we're looking long-term on learning from this, and then also and being able to share that information with anyone. But then also, how would this be advantageous on different parts of our system? Let's say that if we have one part of our system that may be a little bit tight on capacity and that type of thing, maybe there's been a lot of growth in that area, substation may be getting a little close to being loaded, then perhaps on those peak days. And it's typically, you know, our system is designed for that hottest summer day, that peak day. So if we can add in increments across our system, then that distributed generation, then that may make more sense for us.
Now, of course, you talked a little bit in the radio show about how land is a premium when it comes to putting up solar cells. And so how does that play into it? Do you have enough acreage to be able to pull off anything you might want to do with respect to that?
You know, that's a challenge. You know, I think anywhere, and especially when you look in the Springfield area, just within Springfield city limits, you have to kind of look at that and see how much land is available. What do we have right now? The utility, fortunately, whenever we put in an asset, whether it be a substation, whether it be a power station, any type of thing like that, we generally look at making that footprint a little bit larger and having buffer land. And that's exactly where we put the solar farm out by the McCartney Generating Station.
Now, have there been any complaints from the public at all? One of the complaints out west sometimes with respect to both wind and with respect to solar is that it's an eyesore in some way, shape, or form. Presumably that's not become a problem, or nobody said anything about that yet?
You know, it really hasn't. When we were getting ready to develop this and to get this done, we reached out to the customers and our neighbors out there by the solar farm, and really didn't have any negative feedback on that. You know, overall, it's a pretty good neighbor because it's quiet. There's no lights. There's hardly any traffic out there. So in that regard, it's a pretty good resource for us, and also doesn't cause any problems for neighbors.
That's very interesting stuff. Well, thanks very much for coming by. I really appreciate it. And once again, that was Kara Schaefer, the Director for Energy Services and Renewables at City Utilities of Springfield. Her division works with the general public to increase efficiencies in their homes, to work on the solar projects and the other renewables that City Utilities is incorporating. And you have been listening to the webcast version of STEM Spots, the radio show produced by Missouri State University's Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science. Thanks for listening.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.